I don't think my wife wants me to read this. But you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I just thought this is real life. This is real life. Dave's going to get this. A few of you are going to get this and some of you aren't. I got a Field & Stream subscription and I've had it for a couple of years. Okay, Field & Stream. I said this is a spiritual break. This is John, he's saying, what's this got to do with church? It doesn't. That's the point. I'm trying to give you. Listen, this is a Field & Stream subscription. So I get this very last issue, and I can understand them saying it's an expiration notice. I can understand this is your last issue. But here, there's a Field & Stream says expiration date. This is mine. It's got my name on it. It says, here, this is your last issue. So I open it up. And it says, whoa, great big words, you know, jump out at you, great big inch words. It says, take a good look at this issue. It's the last one you'll receive. No kidding. I mean, like it jumped, like, this is, whoa, this isn't the end. I mean, this is the magazine I get in the mail. You won't receive the next issue of Field & Stream or the one after that. I mean, this is the last one. Then you get over in the back and they say, it's all over. I mean, I'm serious. Are you kidding me? This Field & Stream. It's like, this is the end of life. You don't get our subscription. It's all over. Your subscription's ended. Expiration notice. Now, some of you are going to get this and some aren't. My, you know, it is what it is, but... I just thought this is the craziest thing. I mean, without this subscription, it's all over. I'm just having fun this morning. I just, you know, you didn't have to pay for that, so it's free. It's all over. Oh my goodness. You got to be kidding me. No, this is it. This is it. It's the last one you'll receive, and you won't even get the next one. Oh, my wife said, oh, you're not going to do that. Yeah, I am. No, you're not. I did. Oh, goodness. Ah, well, all right. I do have a message for you this morning. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 103. It's right about in the center of your Bible. Wasn't that fun? Some of you understood what I was saying, some of you didn't. But for those that got it, after the service, they'll give me a thumbs up. Yeah, way to go, Rick! Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The last time I spoke on the eagles, excuse me, the last time I spoke on the eagles, and I enjoyed bringing that message, but when I read this, at that time, I thought, oh, there might be a springboard. So it's kind of it's nothing to do with that message, but it was a springboard from the moment I read that in verse 2, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I thought, oh, wow, the benefits of the Lord, the benefits. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about the benefits that we have when we serve the Lord and the benefits in God. You may or may not receive an earthly inheritance. Maybe your parents didn't have much at the end of their life, or maybe the government took some of it. Even so, as a son or daughter of the living God, you do have an inheritance, and it is glorious. The scripture says of this inheritance, it can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it is kept in heaven for us. What's more, we can add to this through the course of our lives. We have treasures in heaven, the scripture says. Jesus said, we're in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves cannot break through and steal. Now, an heir is something that you receive. It's an inheritance that you are legally allowed to have and legally yours when someone passes. So how do we inherit this inheritance? How do we get God's inheritance? By the way you live, by your faithfulness, by the way you choose, by the way you honor God, by the way you live for God. And you, when you become a child of God, you become a joint heir and an heir of His. And sometimes I'm not sure if we think about that, because God is so selfless. He is selfless, and sometimes we're selfish, but God is so selfless. He allows us and wants to give us the goodness that He has. You know, God in all His glory and all that He has in the heavens that we don't even, can't even perceive now, He's willing to give to His children. And even in the scriptures, it uses the analogy of if a father and a mother want to give good gifts to their children, God wants to give them to us. We don't deserve that. We're so undeserving. But yet, that's the benefit of serving the Lord. So many don't serve God, and yet it's unbeneficial. There's so many benefits of being God's child. Aren't you glad you're one of His? Aren't you glad when someone says, are you a Christian? You can say, yes. That's why in Romans he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Some people are ashamed. They get embarrassed. I think there have been times I have been squirmish, probably in my 20s. But as time gone on, I began to realize the goodness of God. You know, the goodness of God is what led us to repentance according to the scriptures. And now that we're, you know, in the fold and a child of God, let's see what God has for us. The Father has loved us so much that we are called the children of God, and we really are His children. And we're not going to, well, I've kind of paraphrased that in 1 John 3:1. But let me tell you who you are. Let me proclaim by the scriptures who you are and who we are. You're an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ, Romans 8:17. I'm not saying this of myself. I'm not speaking this of myself. I'm not saying this because I think this or this is a good thing. The scripture says we are an heir of His. That means He's our Father, and everything that He has, He's willing and wanting to give to His children. That, to me, is a wow. I'm His child, and He's wanting and willing to give this to me. He wants us to make us, He makes us eternal beings. See, right now we live in a mortal body, and you've heard me say that before, but we live in a corruptible body. We live in a body that gets ill. We live in a body that's not perfect, and yet He one day will take us, and He takes mortal and makes it immortal. He transfigures us. And of course, that's what's going to happen at the time of the catching away. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but we call it the rapture. But the catching away is when there's going to be a transfiguration, when our bodies are changed. And if that doesn't happen in the catching away, then it happens when we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. But God wants to give us a crown. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, He says, you have a crown that will last forever. We have an eternal crown. We have an eternity with Him. Believers are eternally secure in God. Yeah, I said it, the dreaded word, eternally secure. I'm telling you, the scriptures all through are saying we are eternally secure. That's our home. That's our life. That's our benefit of praising the Lord, of giving our life to the Lord, giving ourselves to Him. He changes us. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We've put off the old man. We've become new. We've taken away the hard heart, and God gives us a soft heart. Some people feel, and I know that I'm kind of sensitive for a guy, you know, I can come to tears probably easier than maybe the average, but I'm sensitive because I want to be sensitive to the Spirit. I want to be sensitive to God. I want Him to make a soft heart. Those that have hard hearts, they don't find favor with God. God wants us to fall into favor with Him. He wants us to be there. So He has great benefits for those that love Him. You are a holy priesthood, a treasured possession. But more than that, we are His child. And He delights in having us as His child. We got to wrap our minds around it. We're just not a being. We're just not a physical being. We're a spiritual being. When God made Adam and Eve, the scripture says, that's not me. The scripture says God breathed into Adam the breath of life and breathed into him a living soul. And that's what makes us different than all the mammals, all the animals. God breathed into man and made them a spiritual being, a spirit man, a soulish man. So we're not just a walking physical being. We walk and have our spiritual being, and that's what God wants to save and save us from the wages of sin, because we all know the wages of sin. So the benefit is His. The benefits are here. The benefits are right in front of us. They're in the good book, and that in the scripture says, we've read it, do not forget, or forget not all His benefits. Why does He say that? I don't want to forget them. I want to know them. He says in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Isn't it wonderful? A-double-L. Oh, my goodness. That covers from A to Z. That covers anything. That covers guilt. That covers sin. That covers our past. That covers all our iniquities, all of our sins. Wow. That means we can forget the past and live in the present and move forward to the future. I think it's grand. I think it's grand, isn't it? That we can have the benefits that God gives us. He heals all of our diseases. At least for those that believe. None of us have the faith to believe, but God, for all of our illnesses, but God does offer the way out. He does have the power to heal. He has the power to redeem us from destruction. Without Him, we would be lost, and lost in a very, very sad way. In Psalms 23:5, I point to that a lot, don't I? You prepare a meal for me in front of my enemies. God wants to take us and do something more for us than we even have the power to realize. Because we're in a family of God. We're in His family. May I share a partial list of what awaits you at His table? Let's look at, what is He talking about? One of the things is, you're beyond condemnation. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Wow. Maybe I'm not the Billy Graham speaker, but I'll tell you what. When the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them are Christ Jesus, that is powerful. That is so powerful. There's no condemnation. Oh, I feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. He's taken us He's taken us out of those pits. He wants you to raise you up. The scripture says He wants to set us in high places with Christ Jesus. Wow. I want to be there. If He wants us to be there, I want to be there. With Him, without Him. With Him, without Him. Huh? Carter. With Him, without Him. With Him, without Him. It's true. It's true. We've been adopted. We weren't born children of God, but we're adopted into the family of God. We're adopted. We were like orphans, you know, and God took us in. You're a member of his kingdom, Colossians 1:13. While I'm talking, would someone look up for me and read, please, Colossians 1:13? Okay, we'll listen to that in just a moment. You have access to God at any moment. Isn't that cool? We have access to God at any moment. Any moment. Omnipresent. He's omnipresent. See, we live in a physical world. I bring this out because I believe it in my heart, and I'm not through speaking. I really believe that God gave us a revelation and understanding of something to Jean and I this week that was so interesting, and I'm going to be bringing that out. But we have access to this God at any moment. He's a spirit. He works in the spirit realm. We're in the physical realm. So we only see in the physical realm. We only see with our natural eyes. But yet there's a spirit world. And God wants us, he's trying to bring us in to that spirit world and into his world. And he gets through his word, he tries to bring us there. But did you find that? Read that loudly, please. Colossians 1:13. Thanks. Wow, God's rescued us. He's rescued us. We were drowning. We were sinking. The psalmist said we were in the deep mire clay. We were in the pit. The psalmist said, and yet he rescued us. It brings us out. How glorious. What a benefit. It says, forget not all his benefits. We can't even name all of his benefits, but I want to name some of them this morning. I think it's so to encourage you that it's not fruitless. It's worthy. It's time worthy. It's eternally worthy to serve the Lord. Do I hear an amen this morning? Amen. It's glorious to serve the Lord. You will never be abandoned. We're not going to read it, but Hebrews 13:5. I don't want to read all of these this morning, but you'll never be abandoned. He is always be with us. Walk with God, and he will walk with you. 1 Peter 1:4, you have an inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance. All those things that God has for us, he saves for us. And Jesus said, I go away, and I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. If you ever feel like you have nothing, just look at these gifts that God gives us. He gives us his angels to care for us. In Psalms 91:11, I do want to read this. Psalms 91:11, it says, for he shall give his angels, excuse me, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He gives his angels charge over you. Angels, the scripture says, are ministering spirits. Now, what's the connection here? Ministering spirits, we cannot see. We cannot see into the spirit world, but yet God gives us angels to watch over us and guide us. Wow. They're very real. In my own devotions and in my own life, I have an interest in understanding and seeking out more about angels, because in the Old Testament, angels are mentioned and talked about 108 times. That's not even the New Testament. 108 times. And in the New Testament, it continually mentions about angels. I feel like in me, this is just my opinion, I'm missing something here, and I have an interest in trying to figure out why God mentions it so much. What does he say? We have guardian angels. So we're going to bring out a revelation in a few minutes that I think is going to be helpful and enlightening. But I want us to get that. I want us to get it. And one of the benefits is he cares so much for you that he gives us a guardian angels. I thank you, Lord. How can we not thank him for all he does? He heals us, touches us, gives us life, keeps us. And yes, when the times, you know, when our time is over, he takes us. But we're remembering the benefits of serving the Lord. He never lets us be tempted more than we can handle. He never allows us to be stumbled so far he can't pick us back up. The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. We may fall, but we can stand back up. We may sin, but we can say, God, help me. I know I have that weakness, but help me to stand and walk with you. Help me again. You may fall, but walk again. You may stumble, but he can rise. You can rise again in the power of the Lord. Let a song appear on your lips. Let a sonnet be there. Let a song appear. Let a tear appear, but God will help you. He keeps them. He bottles up tears. Believe it or not, I can't even tell you where it's found, but he says it bottles up tears. Let a song be on your lips. As much as you want to see him, he wants to see you more. As much as we want to serve the Lord, he wants us to serve him more. He's after us. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us, because we're at home with him. God wants to be your dwelling place. He has no interest in just being a getaway time or a cottage house or a summer cottage house. But God doesn't want to just spend vacation with you or give you a retirement home. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to live in you. He wants your home to be his address. That's why in the New Testament, he says our vessels are a place for him. He wants to dwell in us, in our spirit, in our soulish realm. This may be a new thought. We may think of God as a deity or just a discussion or a place that he wants to walk. We may think of God as a mysterious miracle worker, but not really to live in us. But he's our creator, and he made us, and that's his desire to come into our heart and to come into our soulish realm and come into our spirit. In Acts 17:28, he says he wants to be in us. And Jesus, when he prayed in the garden, said, Lord, just as you and I are one, I pray that, Father, I pray that we may be one in them. In the earthly sense, this is crazy. In an earthly sense, this doesn't make any sense. But in a spiritual sense, it makes a lot of sense. We're not to be separated from God. We're not to be separated from his spirit. It's one and the same. It's a benefit of him. It's a benefit of having a relationship with the Lord. You know, if you have a relationship, it's more than just, talking to somebody, once a month or getting on the phone with somebody. A relationship is somebody, like a friend or family or a spouse or a loved one or a mom or dad or sister. I mean, it could be anybody or cousins by the dozens. Who said that? Oh, glory to God. I'm going to make you smile yet this morning. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There you go. Yeah, woke up that sister in the back seat. If I had a jar this morning with lots of grains of sand in it, I'd like to think that those are all the promises for God has for us. Because we can't number them all. We can't name them all. They're in the thousands. When I think of a piece of a puzzle put together, I think of Romans 8:28, where there's like a puzzle, and it says, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things work together. All things. work together for good. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. I know that. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. I know that. But somehow when you look back in 2020 and you have hindsight, you say, oh, Lord, I see why that happened, or I understand now, or I accept it. Sometimes it's very hard to accept it. But God's ways are best. God's ways are best for us. He cares for us. He cares for us. He cares for all creatures. When I was picking grapes off our grapevine this past week, I pulled the grapevines apart, pulled some grapes, and I saw a nest. I saw a bird's nest. I didn't even know it was there, but there it was. And I thought, how gracious God is to even the birds of the air. That's what he said. He gives them space. The birds didn't have to ask for permission to make their home on our property. They didn't have to pay the Summit Township taxes to have the home on our property. God made a space for them. He allowed them the ability and the knowledge to understand how to make a little home for their babies. And their babies grew, flew, and I didn't even have anything to do with it. God made a way. God makes a way. And that's why Jesus said, if God cares for the birds, if he cares for even the little birds of the air, and he cares for his creatures, it says, how much more does he care for you and I? I'm telling you, I'm talking about the benefits of serving a living God. Not one with eyes that can see, one with ears that can hear at any moment. An eternal God. We were asked a question. Gene and I was asked a question this past week because we have some friends that have just lost, you know, some a spouse and loved ones. And in this past week, we went to a viewing of a 38-year-old. Makes me very sad. And then I had to go somewhere, and I was in a place of business. And the doctor said to me, he says, I just heard of a 36-year-old that passed away. A 36-year-old. I mean, this is all recently. And it's like, it's like, wow, this is all around us. So somebody wanted to know, when we're in heaven, will we really be known as we're known? I mean, will people really know us? I mean, what's the truth? And, you know, I want to tell you something. The afterlife, death and life has always been a mystery. It's always been a mystery. Part of it always will be a mystery. But the Egyptians, they were, you know, seeking what is regarding the afterlife. And we see it all around us. We know it. We know from young to old, you know. So it's something we don't like to really talk about. But I think I have something that might be encouraging. It was encouraging to us. But anyway, we all face it. And Egyptians, you know, they sought to make their bodies eternal with mummification. They thought if they would find the way of eternal life, and, you know, they would inscribe it in the walls, and they would paint, and they would think about this, and they would want their pets to be with them, and so they would, you know, bury their pets with their bodies. And everybody's always been mysterious. You know, it's a big mystery because we can think about it, but really, what happens? What happens? You know, what really, really happens? I mentioned about angels being mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament and continues on through the New Testament. And so I want to bring out something to you that I think is a benefit of serving the all-true living God. So we're going to look at that in a minute, but I mentioned a moment ago about someone said, do you think we're really going to be, do you really think, I mean, or how is it? How can it be encouraged? How will we know what's on the other side? The only way we can really know what's on the other side is if we believe what God says in this book. The Bible says there's books without end. books written without end, but the only living true book. But anyway, so immediately I thought of two things. In the First Corinthians, we call it the love chapter, but I believe it's the second verse to the end of that book. The words are written, we shall know as we are known. 12:13. I said it wrong. Oh, I said 1 Corinthians 13. That's the third time this year I've been wrong. I'm working on it. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Thank you for correcting me. I'm sorry, 13:12. Well, whatever. It's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says in there you will find the words, we know, that means we'll understand, we can perceive, we'll know as we are known. I believe in heaven, we're the same person. We are the same person. See, that's why I said we're transfigured. We're given an eternal body. Right now we have a flesh and blood, and the scripture says flesh and blood can't enter into the kingdom of God. But anyway, we will know as we are known. We're going to be the same person, and we'll know each other. We're going to know our loved ones. We're going to know. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's very hard. There's not a lot of scriptures that say this. There's not a lot of explanation in the afterlife. But Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he wanted to prove that he wasn't just the Son of Man because he had a fleshly body, that's why he died on the cross, but then he was transfigured and he was transfigured into the living, all-powerful deity, Son of God that he truly was. And it says in the New Testament that he was transfigured before the people, in his face shone as the sun, and two men appeared with him. Two men appeared with him. Those men was Moses and Elijah. He wanted to show them. Now, they were Old Testament spiritual men that did miracles and walked with God, and everybody knew about Moses and Elijah because they had the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament then. They didn't have the New. So Jesus was transfigured before them, and he wanted to show them that heaven's real, and these men that passed on centuries and centuries, and maybe even thousands of years earlier, were still alive. Here's Moses and Elijah, and it says they talked with the people. Moses and Elijah talked with the people. I'm almost where I want to be yet. I'm getting there. It has to soak in because it gets deep. Look at with me. I want you, if you would, look at me with me to Luke chapter 16:22. There's a lot of books written on angels, a lot of things said about it, this is not an opinion, this is not an interpretation, this is not a theological debate. The Egyptians may have not quite understood it, we may not quite understand it, but we have to accept it from the man that became the Son of Man and then became the Son of God, the deity, the Christ that we believe in, the Savior, the resurrected Christ. He said four amazing words to me. And I'm not going to zero in on this whole story, which is a real life story. You can do that on your own. It's not a parable. A parable doesn't have real names. There was a real name in this. And his name happened to be Lazarus. And it wasn't the one that was raised from the dead. This man, people have the same names. We have, two Daves in here. I mean, but this man, his name was Lazarus, and I think it's so amazing. I think I want you to get this morning. If you don't get anything else, I want you to know the benefit of serving him is when we are separated from our bodies and our spirit and soulish realm arise. Verse 22 in the book of Luke, Jesus said, the beggar died. He just didn't have anything. He was a poor man. But he loved God. He had given his life to God. And he loved the Lord. He praised the Lord. He didn't have anything. but he was a child of the living God. He gave his heart to God, said, God, no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens, just like Job said, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to serve you. I love you. He loved the Lord. And Jesus said he died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And there's a lot in here, but if there's nothing else we want to get, I want you to get this, that Jesus said when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels. Think about it for a moment. We miss it sometimes because we don't pause. I used to say things so fast, and I over the years I've tried to slow down because it's, you know, we have, you know, God's word is so powerful, but we have to get it. And I want you to think about it for just a moment. I don't want to belabor the subject, but I want you to understand when we pass from this life to the next, and you are serving the Lord, Jesus himself, who come out of the heavens, who was with God, and even said, let us make man in our own image. He said, when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels. There are ministering spirit angels that come and receive our soul, and it is so comforting, and it's so good for us to know that we just don't die, we just don't get buried. The rich man got buried, but there was no heavenly host angels to come and get him. He didn't get taken into Abraham's bosom. At that time, there was just paradise. I don't want to get into the whole story, but I want you to know that the benefits of God is, we have angels coming to take us into that place. When I was in Mahaffey last year, not this year, but last year, there was a missionary family. And this missionary family lost their 17-year-old daughter. I believe she's 17, and she stood there and she's telling the story how she didn't understand. She did not understand how her daughter ran off the road and hit a tree and died. Precious girl, 17 years old, didn't understand. She couldn't get through the grief. And God spoke to her and said, I never left her. The thing that she began to have encouragement in her heart was, I never left her. But angels came and were with her. You can't outlive the benefits of God in this life or in the next. And you know, I've heard about the rapture since I've been 13 and been saved, and it's never happened. And so, you know, it could happen, and I do believe in the imminent return of Christ. But at this moment, if we drop over, I want you to know angels are going to be with us. Jesus said it. The angels will encompass and take us. So, you know, we're not ever, ever left alone. It's an eternal benefit. So I want us to be encouraged. God said, don't forget my benefits. So as I seek, and as I seek the Lord about this, maybe up the road, the Lord will release me to bring out something more. Because I believe there's some things in here that we need to understand. And that's the way that we grow in God. That's the way we grow in Him. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it brings life to us. It brings life in our mortal body. It brings life in our future bodies. And I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. I thank you, Lord, that you want to bring us into higher places with you. You want to strengthen us. You want to enlighten us. And God, I pray that you'll enlighten us this morning of the benefits that you have for us. We're an heir of yours. We're your children. And God, as we move on in life, we pray that you'll help us to understand that you never leave us or forsake us, living or in passing. Wow, you're with us. We thank you, Jesus, that you told us this story of a very real man that died and your angels came and rescued him. Because they're ministering spirits, we don't see them. So in our minds, I'm not sure if we grasp it, but God, help us to grasp it. Help us, Lord, to grasp what you're trying to teach us. I'm only reading it. Help us to grasp it and understand it and take it into our hearts, that we might know that living for you is the greatest thing that we can ever do this side of heaven, because it will make a difference on the other side. We just thank you, Lord. Bless those that are here. Bless those that are listening. And be an encouragement to us, Lord, in our everyday life. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.